السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and friends in Islam, the reason for our weakness today as an ummah, the reason for our weakness as communities, the reason for our weakness as leaders of whatever sphere of life we are in, whether it be our family unit, whether it be just having two or three subjects under us, or whether it be an individual on his own, one of the main reasons that the ulama have cited for our weakness is that we have left the example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we have left those who have taken Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their ideal in life. So whether we follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or those who did whatever they could to follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be it the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, tabi'een, whether it be the mujahideen, the mufassireen, the scholars of Islam, if we do not follow or hold on to that thread of example, then definitely we are on a path, that path which is definitely going to not see, we are not going to see any type of success in this world and in the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Beloved friends in Islam, one such example which we can discuss today, perchance, perhaps many of us might have heard his profile before, and later on, before we conclude, we will discuss why we have chosen his profile today, is the profile of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Ali, especially in the context of what is going on with the first Qibla, the third Haram of Islam. We find that between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and us, there are only two people that have conquered Masjid al-Aqsa. Only two. And the first one was Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and the second one was Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi. After that, now the ummah is waiting for a third conqueror. Now, why is it taking so long? Because you and I have failed in following the ideal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as these people did. Let us take a glimpse and see how they followed the example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there is no power and might, and there is no other way that we can equip ourselves militarily or physically in any way except that we go back to the example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This person, Salahuddin, he was born in Iraq. And for some reason, he had to leave his parents. In fact, the night that he was born was the night that he and his parents had to leave. There was some incident that took place, and fearing the safety of his father and uncle, they left. When they left, they saw him, Salahuddin, growing up way in Syria. At that time, there was an extremely pious leader, Nuruddin Rahmatullah Ali. In fact, before that, Imaduddin, his father, and then Nuruddin, the son, took over. So we find that Salahuddin grew up in Syria, and growing up, he got the confidence of the leader of that time, and he became the leader of police there in Syria. And Nuruddin, a very pious person, saw that this person is capable, he has the taqwa, he has also the military expertise, so he sent him to Egypt. Now this is something that I want to discuss, that you see, a lot of times we hear about Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayh, and our mind only goes to the fatah of Masjid al-Aqsa. What he did in Egypt is a very, very great lesson for you and I. In fact, his entire life, there are great lessons for us. When he came to Egypt, what was the situation in Egypt? What was the environment that he found in Egypt? He found that there was an environment of Shiism. The normal Adhan, which you hear, you heard just now, was not being called in Egypt at that time. For how long was this? Not 20 years, not 30 years, 280 years, almost 300 years, the call, we don't like to repeat it, but their call was Hayya, I just can't remember the exact words, Hayya ala khair al-amal, Hayya ala Muhammadin wa Ali khair al-bashar, something to that effect. That come towards, whatever it is, that will waste our time, but that was the Adhan. It took Salahuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, the historians have written, and by the way, you can check this out, even his enemies have written, Allah Ta'ala gave him such qabiliyat and such, you know, he had such expertise that no other leader in the world could have changed around, turned around a country. Within 6 years, he had to eradicate all those cultures. It took him only 6 years. If you look today, as an example, Turkey is still battling with the remnants of Kemal Atatürk, whatever he did there. But in 6 years, he eradicated everything to the extent that Cairo, which was only reserved for the leading groups, for the government, that, the group, by the way, who was ruling Egypt for 208 years were the Fatimids, the Fatimid Empire. They are a sect of the Ismaili Shias, and they hate our mother Aisha, they hate Abu Bakr, they hate Umar. In any case, this is what he had to deal with. Beloved friends in Islam, the ulama explained, today you and I also have challenges. Maybe we are not rulers. We are not ruling over a country. Durban has been hit already with this ugly face of Shiism. Maybe we know it, maybe we don't know it. There are already youngsters in this vicinity that are being invited towards Shiism. Not far from where you and I are sitting right now, once a week they have their own meeting. The Shias are, and some of you might be thinking, maybe these are people from some other country that came here. No. So many of them are born and brought up, generations of Islam. Beloved friends in Islam, we have to look into the lives of these people. This man, single-handedly, he turned around a country which had 280 years of Shiism. So what are the qualities that he had to turn us around, which you and I have to adopt, so that we can protect ourselves, protect our children? That was Shiism at that time. Today you and I are faced with LGBTQ. We are faced with pornography. We are faced with so many things. We don't like to repeat these things, but just for your information, in case you don't know, there are youngsters in our community, and I repeat this, I'm not talking about some other country. We are talking about our city, where sometimes a youngster wakes up and say that, you know what, I'm inclined towards the Bible, or I feel that I want to marry a boy. Beloved friends, these are realities. There are parents in our communities, that have sleepless nights. They don't know where to turn. Beloved friends, one of the reasons why we are succumbing to all these fitnas is because we haven't adopted these qualities which we are going to come to, inshallah. So we find Salahuddin continuing from here. 280 years of Shiism he eradicated, alhamdulillah, in 6 years. This was the first feather in his cap. And the big feather is still to come, where he went and he conquered Masjid al-Aqsa. Beloved friends in Islam, we find, before we continue with this story of Egypt, there in Alexandria, in Cairo, he established madaris. He established madaris where not only the locals could study, and now everything is following the sunnah, no more Shiism, to the extent Allama Suyuti, you must have heard this name somewhere or the other, ask any student of hadith, Badruddin Aini Rahmatullah Alayhi, these were all the giants, and Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani Rahmatullah Alayhi, these were all the students who graduated from those madaris that were established by Salahuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi. Beloved friends in Islam, you and I, the lesson that the speaker and the listener takes from this is that we have to leave some type of legacy. Maybe not a whole country, maybe not a whole city, but at least within the sphere of our family, within our household, leave something that the day we pass away, that at least there's some amal that is carried on, even if it be that deep-rooted belief in our aqidah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many teenagers today, and really I'm trying my best not to exaggerate, we are from morning to afternoon, we are in an environment of teaching and learning with the students. How many students today come up with questions where they already left the fall of Islam? Why? Because they entertain certain ideas of the Orientalists, which the Orientalists are doing their best in the colleges and universities, etc., beloved friends. In any case, we find Salahuddin Rahmatul Alayh. He was only 10 years old. He was only 10 years old growing up in Egypt, in Syria, when there was a great alim of that time who was going around and calling out that, you know what, Aqsa needs a liberator. Who is going to liberate? He was 10 years old when his ustad asked in the class that who's there to liberate Aqsa. He was a 10-year-old lad, and he raised his hand and said, I will do it. Some narrations say, some historians write that from that day on, he didn't play like a normal kid. He didn't laugh and jump like a normal kid, but he had it in his mind that one day I'm going to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. Beloved friends, you and I might be thinking we are, whatever we may call ourselves, Indians or people of Africa or whatever. Salahuddin was not an Arab. He was not, he cannot even be called a Syrian. No, the historians write he cannot even be called an Iraqi. He was actually Kurdish. He was a Kurdish from the Kurdish community. And this is how his taqdeer ended up, that he moved from country to country. Beloved friends in Islam, another feather in the cap of Salahuddin was that he fought in a very famous battle called the Battle of Hittin, where 20,000 of these Christians, these crusaders that had marched towards Masjid al-Aqsa, and Salahuddin faced them near the Tabariya, that is the Tiberias. We might have heard this name of this river or this span of water which Ya'juj and Ma'juj will pass and they will drink, etc. Beloved friends in Islam, when the Battle of Hittin took place and at least 10,000 of the crusaders were killed and another 10,000 were taken as prisoner, then this really shook the Roman world and the Christian world, and this paved the way now for Salahuddin to go into Masjid al-Aqsa. And at that time, just before he went to Masjid al-Aqsa, also on the north in Syria, was he took a lot of inspiration from. And this is a point today where I, as the speaker, and all of us, we have to take inspiration from those who look up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to look up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as our inspiration. Who was there on top on the north in Syria was Nuruddin Rahmatullahi, and he was here in Egypt. So from both sides, they sandwiched the crusaders in a few of their crusades. Beloved friends, very, very quickly, time is against me, but Nuruddin Rahmatullahi, he was that person. What was his demeanor and what was his outlook in life? He had such love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We might have heard this incident before, that on three nights he had a dream where Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling him that, O Nuruddin, help me against these two individuals. And he saw two individuals in his dream, three nights in a row. Eventually, just to cut the long story short, he goes to Madinah Munawwara. He calls, now it was the Madinah of Munawwara of those times, not today. So everybody was called. The governor called everybody. He gave everybody hadaya, gifts. Eventually, they said, everybody came. He said, no, there's two travelers that didn't come. He called them in. They were from Morocco. Eventually, when he caught them out, they were digging a secret tunnel towards the qabr of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to take the body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the king, a Christian, who paid them a very high sum of money. Then eventually, Nuruddin Rahmatullahi, he ordered that molten lead be brought. That is why, hypothetically, if you have to dig around the Rose Mubarak, you'll find molten lead there. You won't be able to reach the Rose Mubarak. Beloved friends, these are the type of people we are talking about. These are the type of people who brought futuhat, who brought the world of the kuffar, who brought the world of Shias to their feet. Why? Because of their love for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because of their love for Salah. Nuruddin Rahmat Salah. Salahuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, it is said regarding him that even at a time when he couldn't wake up, in his last moments of his life, he ordered that an alim come 5 times a day and lead the salah, because he doesn't want to miss salah with jamaat. His love for Quran, they say his love for Quran was such that leave alone his recitation, the guards that used to stand around him at night, they used to read anything between 2 to 6 juz, paras of the Quran, the guards, because of that environment that he created of Quran. Leave alone that, he was the first person ever to recite the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Ma'rika, on the battlefield. How was this? He loved so much the recitation of hadith to be read to him, that one of the close ulama that were around him, and he always had ulama around him. He never ever did anything without the mashura of the ulama. This is another great lesson for us, which we cannot expound on right now. And one of the great ulama who were around him suggested to him that, oh Salahuddin, why don't you be the catalyst and the first one who, while fighting in the path of Allah, have somebody recite hadith to him. So he accepted. And while he was fighting the enemy in one of his battles, he had a muhaddith that was reciting the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to him. Beloved friends in Islam, we, you and I, we have to build our capacity, physically and spiritually, so that, one, we may ward off the fitnas that are around us, and number two, so that, inshallah, maybe we will be the means of some Salahuddin that will stand up and face the enemy and liberate Aqsa and liberate the lands that are being, beloved friends, a lot of times we only concentrate on one area at the moment. Right now, even this week, what is happening in what we know as Sham, Syria, that person is butchering, everybody that is not a Shia. You don't want to take names, but in case it's unclear to somebody, Bashar al-Assad is killing. In the last 10 years, he's killed thousands, not hundreds. This is not a mistake that I'm making. Thousands of ulama that are non-Shia. He's killed them. Beloved friends in Islam, who is going to stand up to this? Salahuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi was not an Arab. He was not from Palestine. No, he was a Kurdish. At the minimum, if we do not reach there to be the one that will make that conquest, beloved friends, we have to have that desire. Have that desire that one day, you know what, we will give our life in the path of Allah. Nabi Karim, ulama explained that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared that a person who doesn't have this desire to give his life in the path of Allah, that he may pass away on some other creed and religion. Beloved friends in Islam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he said, Abu Huraira narrates, which appears in Muslim Sharif and Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. Nabi Sallam took a qasam that by the qasam of Allah, in whose hands is the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أَغْزُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَأُقْتَلْ. That I would fight in a part of Allah, and then I would be slain and martyred. ثُمَّ أَغْزُو فَأُقْتَلْ. Then I fight again, and I will be martyred again. ثُمَّ أَغْزُو فَأُقْتَلْ. And then I'll fight again, and I'll be martyred again. Comes in one narration that Mujahid, the Mujahid who gives his life in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person, when he'll be asked in Jannah, after entering Jannah, he entered Jannah already, he'll be asked that, what do you desire? He'll ask that, what more can I desire? Then he'll tell Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I wish to go 10 times back into the world and give my life and then pass away fight in the path of Allah and then be slain. Why? Because the enjoyment a mujahid experiences, that is unparalleled. Beloved friends in Islam, just one other point regarding Salahuddin. Imagine, at the age of 57 he passed away without doing Hajj. I don't say this in a negative way. Why? This shows two things. Two things. Number one, he took the mashwara of the ulama so closely that when, even though the crusaders had a pact, they signed an agreement, the ulama around him told him that, O Salahuddin, if you leave Masjid al-Aqsa and you go back to Syria, they will come from Syria and they will come back and liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. Don't go for Hajj. We know it's a month of Hajj. You are excused. The second thing is, besides the mashwara, this, what does it teach us? It showed us that the heart of one man, what fear Allah Ta'ala put in his heart, that if he had to move away from Masjid al-Aqsa, the crusaders would come all the way from Syria, and they would come and attack Masjid al-Aqsa. Beloved friends in Islam, today we are frightened of a rat, unfortunately. This is what we have become. Why? Because of our weakness of iman. Beloved friends, may Allah Ta'ala strengthen our iman. May Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman and take us with iman. Beloved friends in Islam, this was that man who, by the way, he was also given the title of Khadimul Haramain al-Sharifain. In his time that he was when he was the governor there, he was the king in Aqsa at that time. One is, he created a safe passage. Read about the city of Aqaba till today. If you go to Masjid al-Aqsa, may Allah Ta'ala take all of us. If you go there and you with the right guide, he will tell you about the history of Aqaba, that till today is recognized as a safe passage and a route for the people of Aqsa to go for Hajj. And he should send a minimum of 8,000 heaps of wheat for the Hujjaj in the season of Hajj, for the Hujjaj to be fed in Makkah. Beloved friends, this is why one historian, he writes, Ibn Shaddad Rahmatul Alayhi, a very great giant of that time, he writes that he witnessed the Hujjaj at the time when the Imam and the Khatib made dua for Salahuddin, that the Hujjaj used to make, when his name was mentioned, Salahuddin, the Hujjaj used to say Ameen aloud. This was Khadimul Haramain al-Sharifain, the true one. With respected elders and friends in Islam, there were many other things that we intended to discuss, but because of time, this much you and I have to take back, that we have to build a capacity. Capacities not only physically, but spiritually, to fend off all these fitnas that are around us. And inshallah, from amongst our youngsters, even the old, there's no age, this thing, there will be somebody who will stand up and conquer wherever conquest is needed. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.